received two questions. I think one is from Brother Jin Hao. I think this one is good for sharing. He was asking me since the morning breakfast. He said, Brother Teo, he said, he got a meditation question to ask. Also, it's something to do with his experience. So he said, last time, when he has anger, he cannot control. He don't know what happened. He is totally drawn into the anger. But recently, he said, he like different, is it? As anger is about to arise, he know. But he asked me, what must he do? So now I ask you, oh, what must you do?
Just be aware.
Aware is very good. But why you do that? Because at first, he wants to, like most people, want to do something, like prevent the anger from arising and all those things. You see, without wisdom, you cannot arise the right effort to prevent it from arising. You have to let it arise first. It's only when it arises, then you can abandon it. And to abandon it, what must you do? There are five ways, remember? The Buddha taught. And the third way is the best. You just silent away. That is meditation. Don't do anything. The moment you try to control, suppress, and focus, you are interfering with that arising of that phenomenon. So what you should do is be with it. Be with it means no thought at all. Just silence your mind and feel or be with that emotion, that anger or that fear, and then you find out what happened. And that way you develop wisdom and understanding. Then you will come to understand what the Buddha meant by all these sankhara mental states. They are dependent originating. They are not real. They are conditioned arising, impermanent. Anger is not you. Fear is not you. So you don't have to fight them, suppress them or control them. So what happened is, people who use thought, who don't understand, they will develop the aversion towards the anger, that fear, that negative emotion, because they feel that these are evil roots. These are not something that they want. They attach and cling to wholesome mind, good mind state, like metta and all those things. But they cannot develop that metta, because most of the time when you go into life, your habitual tendency, your whole way of heedless thinking, will develop all this reaction of mind that cause all the evil to arise, the mental hindrance to arise. So because of that, they cannot deal with it, they don't know how to develop the understanding of it, they are not meditating. They are actually using thought to suppress and to control and to fight the hindrance. So the Buddha said, no amount of all this thought-based activity can free you. You need to understand, without the spiritual faculty, the hindrance will be there. Without wisdom, the hindrance will be there. So initially, before the wisdom arrives, you must have the spiritual faculty of sadha. Then develop the virya, then cultivate the sati. Sati is most important. That's why sati is mindfulness, awareness, attentiveness before the knowing. So when you are aware, silent, attentive, you can feel everything, even the anger, the emotion, the fear. When it arises, you stay with it, silent everything, don't try to know, don't do anything. The very flowering of that emotion or that thought, the anger or that fear, is the very cessation of it. Means when it flower, it will cease. Like Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of thought or the emotion is the ending of that thought. So you have to try it out. You have to realize that you cannot just listen and use that knowledge, or you know it. It's not going to work and it's not going to be effective. This is where the shortfall of thought-based meditation, the problem with people with a lot of Dhamma, they use Dhamma and they say they understand or they know, but actually they have not realized it. That's why it cannot be understood. But when you stay with it, do not label it, do not do anything about it, then that is where the understanding will come. Then you realize, I don't have to do anything. The moment I arise, this true mind, the silent mind, to be with it, then whatever that is condition arising, they will settle down, slow down, and cease. Then it will return to its original state of the true mind before the arising, before the stirring. That's why our true mind, our true nature is already peaceful, mindful, silent, and aware. And you don't have to do anything to realize that. You only need to be silent, peaceful, and aware. That's why sati is very important. Yeah. So, to summarize, the gist of it is, I told him, you have improved. At least now, when anger is about to arise, or fear is about to arise, you are aware. And that is the stage that you will come to. And most people will come to that stage if you try to develop the understanding of meditation. Even at the first turning or second turning, contemplative level, you will have the awareness to see that. But that itself is just the beginning, the first stage. You have not moved into the real meditation, the real cultivation. The real cultivation is to understand all this. That's why the third way is to silent and be with it, just aware, no need to do anything. Then you will understand the Buddha's teaching, what he meant by dependent or originating, what he meant by impermanent, leading to suffering, non-self and other things. It will understand by itself within the silent, where you see it coming and going. Then you see how it exists when you do not do anything. So the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. All this you understand, what Krishnamurti say, what the Buddha say. So Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Dukkang. If you don't arise any of this Sankara, it will return to its original state of inner peace, inner mindfulness, and inner awareness. That is your original state of the true mind. Without thought, without sankara, without stirring, it is beautiful, peaceful, aware, silent. That's why sati leading to pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, the meditative mind, and you will understand very clearly. Then the fourth way is to develop the final stability of wisdom. When you understand through the third way, it's not enough because there is no wisdom. In future, you will continue to have this anger, then you have to every time run away and silence your mind. It is not a full fix. It's not a full pro solution. So you need to move on to develop the wisdom. The Buddha said the fourth way is to trace the origination factor. How do you trace? You find out. In the first place, before I get angry or fearful, there was no anger, there was no fear. How does fear arise? How does anger arise? If you were to be mindful of your daily life, of your daily activity, you will come to understand how they arise. It's always through one of your sense door, through your seeing consciousness. Then your wrong view, you react and you stir your mind. Or through what you hear, when people scold you, abuse you, backbite, talk negative thing about you. Or through your thought process, when you recall some unhappy incidents, then your perception of that situation or that person will stir your mind to react. That's how you develop the aversion, the unhappiness, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. So memory is the source of all this negativity. If you don't understand, if you don't have the right understanding and the right view, your mind will stir, your mind will react. So having traced the origination factor, now you ask yourself, what must I do in future when I confront the same situation, the same type of people, when I see them, when I hear this thing, when my thought arises this type of phenomena, what am I to do?
How can I develop the understanding to overcome it, to reverse all this? So when you understand the origination factor, retrospectively, you should actually develop the wisdom and the understanding to reverse all this so that it will cease, so that in future, you can be at peace with all this situation and phenomena. And that is meditation. So you have to find out yourself what is the best way to develop this understanding. So from my cultivation, after going through all this, I came to realize one thing. I have to develop the ability to understand life so that I can straighten my view, not to be afflicted, not to be affected by life. And that is the most important. Means I need to constantly straighten my view so that I can perceive things according to reality. Just like what the Buddha said, I must learn to see things as they are. Not to see things with my memory, with my conditioning, with my views and opinion, with all of my fear, my phobia, my craving, my selfishness. All these are accumulated within your own memory. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. That's why that is not a free mind. If you don't have a free mind, you don't straighten your view, you cannot act. You cannot arise proper thought. Everything you arise is all conditioned by your views, opinion, and your own belief system, karmic negativity. And all this is going to create suffering, attachment, born of delusion. That's how meditation is to be understood. Then coming back to seeing things as they are, what does the Buddha mean? We have to inquire, like the second turning. Why did he always say, jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality through the direct seeing? We must learn to see things as they are. As they are means what? Means the reality, the truth, before the words come out, before the stirring of the mind. So when you see things as they are, you are at peace. But how come when you have all this conditioning, memory, knowledge, the moment you see, all this come out and affect you? Means you don't know how to see, you don't know how to act. You are acting according to memory. You allow all this conditioning and wrong view to stir and affect your seeing, your hearing, and your thinking, or your thought process. What you must develop is the understanding, the wisdom. So you have to act according to understanding, wisdom, not acting according to memory anymore. So memory will recall, then just like the anger, before it can even move or stir, your understanding will come. You only saw manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. They are just the way they are. Living being is just the way they are. And that is what I meant by seeing things as they are. Means seeing the reality, the truth. If he is deluded, he will do foolish thing, deluded thing, heedless thing. If he has anger, emotion, he will stir his mind, he will become violent, he will speak harshly, he will do all those things. If he is selfish, he will also do all those things. So when you can accept them for what they are, your mind can be at peace. Otherwise, it's very difficult for you to develop this understanding to be at peace with your enemy or with people whom you don't like, or to be at peace with all those people whom you have fear of, who has threatened you before, who has mistreated you before, who have abused you before. So all this is what the Dhamma is all about. So when you understand, you reflect, you contemplate, then you decide to strengthen your view. This becomes your wisdom, your understanding, and it will come if you are mindful. At the moment of sense experience, before the stirring arises, that yoniso manasikara, the wisdom will come. It will tell you, sabbe sankara anicchang, form a mind, no reality. He know you, he know me. Everything is condition arising, dependent on. That's why you must reflect, contemplate, and develop this understanding until it's very stable, until it's a part of your nature. Then you are incapable of responding otherwise. And that's how you transform. That's how your mind becomes peaceful. That's how your mind can be at peace with all situations, then you become different. That is meditation. Okay? Can understand? Okay. You can rejoice. So that is the first part. The second part was singing. You all know singing. Our Dhamma friend from Tuesday class. Last time was Saturday class. Jambaka. So he recently also went to Wu Ping Jing Se. Earlier on Sunday class, went to Wu Ping Jing Se. Then she told us she got promoted, going to be sent off to Denmark. Then she went. Then she told me just now, is it that weather there very cold? Really cold. You know Denmark, still snowing, he said. Then he said, when he was there, he couldn't find Dhamma, that place. That's why he appreciates so much what he has learned from our sharing. He said, this type of Dhamma, you cannot find one. When he was there, he said, all very commercialized one. All also talk about money one. Then somehow don't have this type of sharing and teaching. And because of that, she actually developed a lot of good understanding. Then she told me, the mind is always like that. You will compare that. In Malaysia, weather so nice, so warm. Here, suffering like mad, so cold. And like he said, he see all those people there, Danish people. They can jog and run in the cold. Then he say, how is she going to do it? Because we are not used to it. Then he say, even if you go and jog, if people offer you water, it is so cold, how to drink? So all those. Then the mind will tend to have this tendency. Then I share with her, that is how you cultivate. That is also mindfulness. That is also daily mindfulness, wisdom. The nature of mind without wisdom is to compare, anasana. Compare with what you used to have. Then if you compare, then this mind has craving, anasana. He every time attach and cling to the good condition. That's why when you compare, you only see the unhappy part or the negative part, because you crave for the good part. But when you're in Malaysia, you also complain, anasana. Wow, you say so hot, so much humidity. People here are crazy. So rush in their activity, and they are like workaholic and all that. But you go there, you say, before you go there, you say, the Westerner, wow, I was told France, one whole month summer holiday, nobody work on. Very few people. There was one guy who shared with me, he visited a factory there. Oh, I think Alicia. Was it Alicia? Alicia. He said, they visited the factory in summer holiday. There were only one or two workers. They told her, he said, you come wrong time. What I'm trying to share with you, I told her, I said, when you understand this fact, this reality, you will be able to cope with how your mind develop all this negativity and happier tendency. Look for the reality. The reality is what? I am here in Denmark, understand? Whatever your thought tell you is not the reality. While in Malaysia, wow, I don't have to suffer like that. While in Malaysia, I got my Dhamma friend. I can go and listen to Dhamma. I can meditate. I can go retreat. All this is not the reality, understand? It's going to make you miserable, unhappy. Then your mind is not peaceful. Why can't you be peaceful? When you understand that the reality is I'm here, I have to accept this reality and move and live. Then to be peaceful or not peaceful depends on my understanding. This is the critical point. The moment you hit this on the nail, you will know how to live. Because you got two choices. Lament and become miserable. Compare. That is not the reality. Because this is Sankara. That's why the Buddha said, Sankara Anicang, Sankara Dukang. Then Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Then when you understand, Testing. 1, 2, 3. Continue yourself.